Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual, but they're all related to the same story. This usually only happens when there's some sort of national tragedy, but this one's just so politically bizarre and sad and frightening on a lot of different levels, although not entirely unexpected, mind you. But Anthony Weiner, a.k.a. Carlos Danger, is both good, bad, and crazy today. For those of you who missed the story somehow yesterday, Weiner, who, of course, resigned from Congress in disgrace after sexting through Twitter with potentially underage women at least a couple of years ago, is running for mayor again. The latest poll showed him up 3 points in a tight race against City Council President Christine Quinn. But then it was revealed yesterday that several months after resigning from Congress, he was back on social media, once again exchanging inappropriate messages with much younger women. Some of them even suggested that he would help them find jobs, put them up in a condo, and on. It's just very troubling stuff. Here was his immediate response in a press conference, hastily called, mind you, on Tuesday to explain what he thinks of this latest scandal.
While some of the things that have been posted today are true and some are not, there is no question that what I did was wrong. This behavior is behind me. I've apologized to my wife, Huma, and I'm grateful that she has worked through these issues with me and that I've had her forgiveness. I want to again say how very sorry I am to anyone who has received the receiving end of these messages and the disruption that this has caused. And my wife, as I have said, my wife and I, as I said, are moving forward together.
And Jim, I don't know about you, but there's kind of just a matter of fact, yeah, of course this stuff was out there. We already knew this. This is old news. We're moving forward kind of a thing, which, of course, if he's staying in the race, he has to say. So you might be wondering, what's the good martini here? The good martini is that given the tightness of the recent polls, this latest revelation, especially with the New York Times now saying Weiner is unworthy to be mayor, is that Anthony Weiner probably won't be the next mayor of New York City. Now, mind you, there are no good options at all in this race, but the idea that a narcissist like this guy won't be running City Hall for the next 4 years, hopefully, is probably a good thing.
It is good news, Greg, because, you know, Weiner actually jumped out to a lead in the polls. Now, we can argue about whether that was a genuine lead or whether that simply recognized a certain amount of name recognition or whether a certain amount of, I remember that guy that, you know, kind of, just for fun or for giggles, people were telling pollsters they would vote for him. In a city that's very democratic and in a one where there's, you know, all kinds of Byzantine rivalries amongst various democratic groups, the idea of Anthony Weiner somehow managing to end up with the most was within the realm of possibility. This took what was still something of a underdog shot of being a remarkable comeback story and, oh, isn't it wonderful, et cetera, has now become a broad bipartisan consensus that this has turned into a really ugly joke. And it is kind of nice to see that even in our partisan times, even in the sense of, you know, a lot of people believe that almost anything is acceptable, the New York Times is saying he's got to go. The Wall Street Journal said he's got to go. The New York Post said he's got to go. The New York Daily News has got to go. You know, I'd be very curious to see who's left with Anthony Weiner at this point. And so the idea that everybody kind of looked at this and said, okay, this is bad. It's time for him to go. And as a result of that, he's not likely to win. That is the good news. And that's what makes it our good martini today.
Martini number two. Jim, whenever a Republican goes down in a sex scandal, and there's certainly been plenty of Republicans who have done that, unfortunately, they're pretty much considered permanent pariah by the national media. Not the case for liberals. We certainly saw the ardent defense in the moment in a lot of scandals, certainly Bill Clinton's. But even with Anthony Weiner, while they eventually stopped blaming Andrew Breitbart when the evidence became overwhelming, and finally Weiner was forced to resign when the media wall caved in on him, just a few months later, they were talking about his new baby and how everything was better. And a lot of those came out before the last of these salacious online messages involving his alter ego, Carlos Danger, were discovered. It seems like a lot of media were really excited to carry the water, and it turns out they did so way prematurely.
For the remainder of this segment, Greg, I'd like you to refer to me as Ricardo Hazard. I have decided that is my new typing name for terrible messages. No. Over at Ace of Spades, they have a look of the photo and the People magazine article I got to see when exactly that ran, but it really was a ludicrously soft-focused story. It ran in, it was just July, just a few earlier this month, and they have them with a picture of Huma and a picture of their baby, and you would think it was just another happy celebrity couple. And instead, there's no recognition that this is a really, really creepy guy who caught doing something he shouldn't, immediately blamed everybody else and made false accusations about Andrew Breitbart and all that stuff, and who apparently couldn't do much in private sector life and clearly found that insufficient to satisfy him. So he went out, and a lot of people, like I said, including People Magazine and the New York Times, were happy to write this happy story without really looking that hard. You don't often find me praising BuzzFeed. But one of their reporters over there went and talked, because apparently during his whole I went to therapy segment, Wiener went to therapy for like 3 or 4 days, then just declared himself cured, and then went on with his life. And unsurprisingly, people who are professional therapists dealing with addiction issues and mental health issues and stuff say, well, no, you really can't deal with these sorts of issues in 3 days, that there is no magic pill that makes you feel better. And as a result of that, he has now, by the way, really dragged Huma into this, in which she went out as his human shield during yesterday's conference, playing the Juliana Margulies role, playing the role that Mrs. Spitzer had originally played, and basically telling the voters, this is okay. Well, wait a second. No, it's not okay. All right. You know, it is not okay to go out and say, oh, I'm a different man. And then it turns out we find revelations that you're not a different man, that you're doing the exact same thing. And oh, by the way, it's really creepy. It suggests something kind of, you know, disturbingly predatory and all. So unsurprisingly, people are not warm and fuzzy to this. And it was kind of disturbing to see how many people, if ironically, not necessarily in Democratic Party politics. You didn't see Bill Clinton come out and say, let's help out my wife's former chief of staff's husband. You didn't see a lot of Democratic politicians coming in and saying, you know, Wiener's a great guy. Welcome back. They actually kept him at arm's length, but the media certainly was willing to play a ball with him and willing to give these very soft-focused profile pieces that, again, I think it's very tough to see, just to imagine Republican officials getting the same treatment. And to be honest, I think it may have set a new standard for how quickly the media was willing to go along with a soft-focused human interest gushing profile of someone caught in a scandal and to basically declare the scandal old news and no longer relevant for the electorate.
That's certainly the case, and as we've mentioned before, the media's first instinct when a Democrat is caught into this is figure out who might else be to blame, a.k.a. Breitbart, when this story first broke in a different way 2 years ago, and then still say it's not rising to the level of removal from office until a Democratic leader says, yeah, it's time for you to go. Then the drumbeat finally starts when the evidence and a few Democrats pile on when it's a Republican. The first question is, when will you resign, which kind of leads to our third martini now, and that's the fact that I don't know how many folks, and I don't know whether there's really not any way to know this, so how many folks who are involved in elected politics have clear, almost psychotic problems like Anthony Weiner does here, and it certainly cuts both ways on both sides of the aisle. We saw it with Mark Sanford, unfortunately. We saw it with John Ensign. We've seen it with Bill Clinton. We've seen it with so many people on both sides of the aisle. But the problem is that they've convinced themselves that America will not function unless they're in elected office, Jim.
That's the thing. To me, it's more than just these, you know, we've had sex scandals for a long time. Maybe the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal was the turning point in which you saw lawmakers who are caught in these circumstances not only not resign, basically believe, look, if I smile and if I go into my bunker and I just keep my head down for a long time, I can survive this. I will be okay. This doesn't have to mean, you know, the end of my career. You can think back to Gary Condit back in the summer of 2001 with the disappearance of Chandra Levy.
Yep.
Worth noting, Gary Condit is not the creepy, psychotic axe murderer that some people believed at the time. He was just a creepy congressman having an affair with a much younger woman and then not disclosing that information to the cops as they were investigating her disappearance. So no kudos to you, Gary Condit. Not an axe murderer is basically the nicest thing we can say about you. But you see this. You see, in Morning Joel today, I talk about, I mean, John Edwards, when he had his whole Riel Hunter scandal, basically this ticking time bomb that apparently he believed was never going to get out. He flames out in Iowa, and he's clearly not going to be, you know, the Democratic nominee. So he immediately sets out trying to leverage Hillary Clinton against Barack Obama. Basically, he says to both sides, if you make me your running mate, I'll endorse you. And awaits for the phone call to come saying, okay, we have a deal. It's speaking well of the good judgment of both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Neither one of them took that offer. Neither one of them thought his endorsement was worth that much. Eventually, he endorsed Obama, and Edwards basically believed he was on the short list for attorney general. And what's more, he and his folks really believed that this was just a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. It says something that a guy who's got this giant scandal and has just had a child born out of wedlock and all that stuff is still looking, look, I can still get through this. I can still go on to great things. I could still be powerful and important. Most of these people, strangely enough, can't seem to go back to private sector work, can't seem to go back to a nice, quiet life somewhere, doing something helpful to society, you know, and just kind of staying away from the bright lights of politics. Now, I guess I should give John Edwards some credit. Allegedly, he's restarting his private law practice. This has become this very predictable playbook of politicians caught in a scandal. And you could say we're seeing the exact same thing going on now in San Diego with Bob Filner, who, according to the, you know, like now a considerable number of accusers, has a serious problem sexually harassing lots and lots of employees. And his explanation to the public is, I'm a big hugger. Huggers around the world are kind of, you know, recoiling from that because we don't want Bob Filner associating himself with a normal loving gesture and you know, who to justify his behavior under that. And so you just kind of, you wonder how many people in politics are psychotic or at least mentally damaged in the sense that they need to be in those offices. They don't know what to do with themselves and they're not in that offices. And as a result of that, when they're caught doing something wrong, they will do absolutely everything except actually take responsibility and contemplate whether they should be doing something else with their life.
Is this good or bad for Spitzer?
Great question. And I think it probably hurts him. I jokingly tweeted yesterday, all right, let's uncover the fact that Spitzer is still using prostitutes and wrap this whole thing up. And people's cynicism is there for a reason. I mean, I joke that my cynicism is so well-founded, it has footnotes. People, unfortunately, let us down. They say they've reformed, and it turns out they haven't reformed. Maybe Elliot Spitzer really has turned his life around, and maybe he really is no longer sleeping with prostitutes, and maybe he is trying to walk the path of the straight and narrow. But once somebody lies and says, oh, I'm totally all better now, and then you find out that they're not, it makes it much tougher to believe the next guy when he says, oh, I'm totally all better now. I'm not the creep I was a couple of years ago. So I think there's a certain kind of curiosity value of having these scandalized guys come back. I do like to think that voters of New York will kind of say, okay, let's get serious. Let's find somebody who's not primarily known for horrific, creepy scandals, and let's find somebody who could actually genuinely improve life for people in the city instead of, you know, just for entertainment value.
Well, the last part's clearly not going to happen with this crop of characters, but somebody who doesn't have a tawdry public sex scandal hanging over
them
might
be good. Let's pick the least tawdry.
Yes.
Who's got the most normal scandal that you... Oh, you wrote some bad checks? Okay. Up, speeding tickets? All right, that's fine. You know.
Truth is always stranger than fiction. Jim, have a good one.
See you on Friday, Greg.
Exactly. Jim Garrity of National Review. He'll be back on Friday. I will be back on Thursday with another excellent commentator from National Review for the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Thank you.